These companies are using child psychologists and social anthropologists to study children. They are having focus groups for children as young as 2 and 3 years old. They are in most, you know, the most incredible form of children's marketing. We also have a photograph in the book. It's called neuromarketing. It's the cutting edge of research into children. They are putting children into MRI machines, children who are 6 and 7 years old, and showing them TV ads. And there's a certain part of the brain that's responsible for brand loyalty. And they're tailoring the ads to see how often that part of the brain flashes. So these are very, very sophisticated techniques that attempt to get children to buy these products.
We're taking a short break from this special membership drive presentation of a talk by Eric Schlosser. He's talking about his newest book, Chew on This. This is your opportunity to go to your phone and call us here at 503-232-8818 to become a member of KBOO and show your support for this kind of programming and your community radio station.
And yes, and the phone number, of course, for we call this type of radio two things: making good radio and grassroots radio. And that means it's our radio. And the phone number then to call to, if you support the ideal of our radio, is 503-232-8818. 503-232-8818. And if I like to say, if you're out on the Pacific Ocean with a really good cup of coffee right now and a nice continental breakfast, you can call for free 1-877-500-5266, 1-877-500-5266. And of course, we can go online, www.kbo.fm, www.kbo.fm. Check us out there. It's our website is getting really good.
Yeah, and we need 9 more new members to call, and we have a special premium when you, or thank you gift. When you call and pledge this morning, you call and become a member at the over the $40 limit. If you call and pledge $40, you will receive, if you pledge $60 or $75 to get Eric Schlosser's book, you will also receive free, we have 10 copies of the Blue Pages, a directory of companies rated by their politics and practices. And let me just read a couple. This, what this little book does is it tells you how, first of all, it's very informative. It tells you how much these major corporations contribute to both the Democrat and the Republican Party. So here's an example of some of them. I'm going to read just a few to over the air, but please be dialing your phone, 503-232-8818, while I read some of these to you. You can have this when you call and pledge $40 or more. Right now, we only have 10 copies. This is the Blue Pages. So Adobe Systems, they contribute 99% of their political contributions to the Democrats, $139,500, and $1,250 to the Republican Party. Apple Computers, 100% to their to the Democratic Party. Best Buy Company, 96% to the Republicans. That making the phone ring, you want a copy of this, you want to know where to put your money, call now, 503-232-8818. Here's some more. Canon Incorporated, zero to the Democrats, 100% to the Republicans. I'm just flipping through. So
yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, you could really, I mean, I was just reading about a bicycle company in there, that a really famous bicycle company, and I didn't know that they had made this faulty bike, and somebody has a big lawsuit against them. You could spend a lot of time just thumbing through your favorite corporation. And if you want this really cool book, it's pocket size, by the way. You could slip it in your back of your jeans or your those clothes you get from the Goodwill. The phone number then to call is 503-232-8818, 503-232-8818.
Here's here's a little more information. This is from the finance, insurance, and real estate industry. Now, these are companies that buy their politicians on both sides, Republicans and Democrats. They can throw money at each of those to get the kind of politicians that they want. So General Electric Company, they're the top number one Republican contributor at $1,013,039. But they also bought some Democrats for $562,000. They like Republicans more, so they gave more. Bank of America, same thing, $751,000 to Republicans, $506,000. You can have this book, too, to help you know where you want to direct your funds by calling 503-232-8818. Become a member now.
And we have some people to thank for becoming part of the KBOO community, grassroots community. They are Frank from Kelso, who is renewing, Joshua from Portland, a new member, and Robert from Carson, who is renewing. And thank you all. These are people who recognize the importance of what we are saying. Where else can you hear somebody talking about this directory called the Blue Pages and actually naming a few corporations and how accountable they are to our community? That's pretty cool. I'm just really fascinated by this little pocket-sized book. 503-232-8818. 503-232-8818. And outside the Portland area, it's a free phone call, 1-877-500-5266. And online, www.kboo.fm. And we still have, we have $1,045 to go. And I think we can do it.
That's right. We can do it, but we can only do it if you call, because you're the ones that are really doing it. We're just talking. You're the ones that need to pick up the phone and call 503-232-8818. Show your support. That's your activism. If you don't have time to come down and volunteer, you're going to work, you know, making a living, paying your bills, KBOO needs to pay its bills too, and 7 out of every $8 collected comes directly from you, the listener. It's an amazing fact, but it's true. This station runs 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. It's volunteer programmers. It's volunteers sitting back here waiting to answer the phones. We need 9 new members to call so this program can meet its goal, 503-232-8818. I just wanted to say, Kiss My Face, one of my favorite companies for products, gave no political contributions to either party. So you can learn those things in this little book, the Blue Pages, but you can only have it by calling 503-232-8818. Become a member now, $40 or more pledge. If you call and you pledge $10 a month, come out of your checking account, you won't even notice it after a while, and that is $120 for KBOO for this part of our membership drive, and we need you to call now. Become a member, become one of the 9 that we need, 503-232-8818.
I would really emphasize to please do become a part of our KBOO community, and do get hold of this really a cool book called The Blue Pages. I'm looking through another corporation, a local corporation, and it's amazing. Like, this company has like 118 critical violations of federal food safety regulation. And this company is right in our community. So, I get to say this on cable radio. Imagine me or anybody else trying to say that on the other side of the dial. Think about that. 503-232-8818. 503-232-8818. And outside the Portland area, if you're down there heading towards Salem, you would be dialing for free. 1-877-500-5266. 1-877-500-5266. And we're online, www.kboo.fm. It's a cool website, so do check out, check that website out. 503-232-8818.
Now let's go back to Eric Schlosser.
The flavor industry, which I wrote about in Fast Food Nation, and I write about again in Chew on This, has its own divisions that target children and very carefully come up with flavors that are geared to children. They tend to be much bolder. They tend to be much sweeter. And the strawberry flavors, the strawberry flavor additives, in many cases now are more appealing to children than real strawberries. They are learning about taste through these companies. And again, as early as possible, as young as possible. Studies have found that brand loyalty can begin as young as the age of 2. And also that some children can recognize a brand logo before they can recognize their own name. Because some of these brand logos are so iconic and powerful as symbols. The Golden Arches, for example. At one point, McDonald's really thought about getting rid of the Golden Arches, and they hired an industrial psychologist to see if they should get rid of the Golden Arches. And the industrial psychologist submitted a report saying, no, do not get rid of the Golden Arches. The Golden Arches symbolize Mother McDonald's breasts and have a powerful appeal. And you should really think about that next time you see the Golden Arches. They really look like that. And it's probably an appeal not just, you know, for small children, but also for teenage boys. Another target demographic. But if you think I'm kidding, look at those Golden Arches. Anyway, so very, very intelligent adults are spending an enormous amount of time studying children, very young children, in order to get them to buy things. And I think it's worth having a debate, and I think it's really worth discussing, what are the ethics of marketing to children? Should corporations be marketing to children? Should corporations be marketing to children in schools where parents are absent? That's one debate. The other one would be, if you do accept that corporations could be allowed to market to kids, what should we allow them to sell? And that's what's important about the fast food and what these companies are trying to encourage children to eat. When you look at the really popular fast foods and children's meals, they tend to be very high in calories, big portion size, very high in salt, very high in sugar, very high in fat, very low in fiber, very low in micronutrients. They are basically the ideal food to make children unhealthy. They eat them a lot. And again, because these companies have started marketing to children at a very, very early age, they're having a profound impact on the eating habits of American children. In a study that's incredible, it's been found that among American toddlers, this is children about 16 months old, one out of every 5 American toddlers is eating French fries every day. Every day. And these companies are even marketing these foods to pre-verbal children. Both McDonald's and Burger King have marketed, have done marketing deals with Teletubbies. Teletubbies are aimed at children 8 months, 9 months, 10 months old. And Burger King has sold chicken nuggets, fried chicken nuggets, in the shape of Teletubbies. So if you look on a graph and you see when the fast food companies really started marketing heavily to children in the early 1970s, and when the fast food companies really started to grow rapidly, also the early 1970s, and you put right along the growth in fast food consumption, the growth in obesity in this country, they parallel one another very, very neatly. Since the early 1970s, the obesity rate among preschoolers has doubled, and the obesity rate among children aged 6 to 11 has tripled. This is a public health disaster. Now, children who are obese, for one thing, suffer from all kinds of emotional distress. At the same time we are getting kids hooked on high-fat, high-sugar foods, we are presenting a constant barrage of body images in the media that are thin and completely unattainable for many young girls. So as a result, Studies of obese children have found that many of them show symptoms of depression similar to those of children undergoing chemotherapy. So there's the feeling of low self-image, there's the ridicule they may encounter at school, but the emotional problems only the beginning. Far more serious are the health problems. Obesity is linked to a much greater chance of asthma, a much greater chance of heart disease, of diabetes, eventually of cancer. And this link with heart disease is not theoretical in children. 9, 10, 11-year-old obese children are already showing signs of cardiovascular damage. And one study found that 2/3 of obese children had one or more symptoms of heart damage already. Another study of 10-year-old boys who were obese found that they had cardiovascular damage similar to that of 45-year-old men, like myself, who had been smoking for 10 years. So children have this sense of invulnerability, and it's a wonderful thing. And yet when they become that big, literally, the damage is already being done to their bodies. And saddest of all, is if you are obese by the age of 13, there's a 90% chance you will be obese or overweight 20 years later. The science is still emerging, but it's likely that your metabolism is being formed in these early years. It's likely that the number of fat cells you're going to have is developed in these early years. And it's likely that your body develops a set point, a weight that it wants to attain and stay at. And that's not to say that any individual can't lose the weight, can't change their body, but it just becomes very, very difficult for most people. And in the book, we tell the story of twin brothers who in their teens undergo gastric bypass surgery, which is becoming more common among teens and which costs tens of thousands of dollars and which has all kinds of risks involved. And for the rest of their lives, these teens, as they grow up, are going to have to take all kinds of vitamin supplements and have all kinds of special diet so that they don't develop things like beriberi and malnutrition. What's really tragic is that the worst effects of this fast food diet are being felt by the Americans who can least afford it. Studies have found that the wealthier you are and the more well-educated you are, the less likely you are to be obese. Because if you have the means, you have access to good health care, your doctor tells you to go on a diet or an exercise program, if you're seeing a doctor regularly, you can buy your food at Whole Foods, you can belong to a health club. But we've got 46 million Americans who don't have any health insurance. And the highest rates of obesity and the worst diabetes is now among the children of the poor. So the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimated that among American children born in the year 2000, one out of every three would develop diabetes from being obese or overweight. One out of every three. And diabetes used to be an extremely, extremely rare ailment among children. Among African American and Latino children, the proportion estimated is one out of every two. Again, a disaster, an absolute disaster. These are people who are going to be condemned to a life of poor health, or a life that is significantly shorter than it could have been. It's as simple as that. And even if morality and ethics and compassion don't lead us to do something to prevent kids from becoming this unhealthy, you know, financial self-interest should.
We're listening to Eric Schlosser, who spoke in Portland in May about his newest book, Chew on This, Everything You Don't Want to Know About Fast Food. And now Rabia and Eduardo have joined us to invite you to call 503- 232-8818 to become a listener member of your community radio station.
And I was just sitting here as listening to Schlosser talking about fast food and thinking, I take the bus all the time, and I can't tell you how much, how often I see somebody chewing on, you know, some your favorite fast food stuff, and the health consequences of the person that I'm looking at. I see that every day, so this is really fascinating. And I get to say that, and we get to talk about this on this grassroots radio station called KBOO. The number you need then to call to support this then is 503-232-8818, 503-232-8818, and outside the Portland area, it's a free phone call, 1-877-500-5266.
That's right, and if you call during this program only, you can receive as an extra thank you gift, on top of your regular one, for a pledge of $40 or more, the Blue Page is a directory of companies rated by their politics and practices, and it says put your money where your values are, and it is fascinating. I'm looking at the telecommunications and internet. I think that most of us are affected, either use a phone or the internet or both. And the number to call to become a member so you can receive this is 503-232-8818. And I'm just going to, I mean, these are some top 10 Republican contributors in the telecommunications and internet. And you can know this by having this book. You can read these. It's amazing. They're not all large corporations. I'm seeing a lot of the companies of products that we buy that for recycled or healthy products, but they also have the big ones too. So here they are, SBC Communications. I don't even know what SBC means, but they gave $1,767,000 to buy their Republicans, and only $1,700,000 and $935,000 to the Democrats. So they could have some of each in their pockets. And here's Verizon Communications. Now, you probably won't hear anybody reading this out of the book on any other channel because they might be receiving underwriting or commercials from subsidiaries of these large companies or advertising directly from these companies. So they wouldn't be wanting to disclose this kind of information. But Verizon gave $1,300,972. They're the second top 10 Republican contributor. Verizon also gave $800,000, significantly less than $1,300,000 to the Democrats. We have Comcast. Comcast gave, let's see, $462,000 to the Republicans. They and $388,000 to the Democrats. This is the type of information you can use when you're making your choices about the products or services that you're going to provide for yourself in your life. But you need to call 503-232-8818. And we are looking now for five members. We started out this program looking for 10 new members. We are looking for five. Please make our phone rings. Please be one of those five. 503-232-8818. Become a member now. Support Free Speech Radio.
And we have some people to thank again who have become members of this community of KBOO. They are Steve from Portland, a new member, Matthew from Milwaukee, who is renewing, Megan, who is renewing from Portland, and Ron from Manmouth, who is a new member, and Missy from Portland, a new member. These all are people who recognize the resource of KBOO. And the number, again, just in case you weren't fast enough on the pen, is 503-232-8818, 503-232-8818, and outside the Portland area, free phone call, 1-877-500-5266. Okay, once again, to that little pocket size, the Blue Pages book. We're just glued to it this morning, the show.
I'm looking at Quest Communications. They gave 30% of their donations to Democrats and 70% to the Republicans. For Quest, that broke down, $826,000 to the... That's their total donations were $826,000. $250,000 that went to the Dems, $576,000. More than twice to the Republicans. Now, this little book will tell you where your money is going and where, in some cases, your taxes are going, because Government also gives money to these corporations. I don't know why, but I know they do. 503-232-8818. You can decide who you want to support and how much. 503-232-8818. Support KABU. Send your funds here.
Grassroots Radio. It's all, this radio station belongs to all of us. All of us. And it's called Grassroots Radio. 503-232-8818. 503-232-8818. And outside the Portland area, free phone call. 1-877-500-5266. And right now we'll,
Okay, all right. So the Schlosser book, we are out of those, but we still have the CD. You can get a copy of this show, of this program. You can share it with your friends and your family members by calling 503-232-8818. That's for a $60 pledge. Calling to get the copy of this program will also get you a copy of the Blue Pages. Put your money where your values are.
Grassroots Radio.
Thank you, Robbie and Eduardo. Now we're going to go back to Eric Schlosser.
Because the cost, the cost to our state governments and our federal government of taking care of so many sick, impoverished people is going to be astronomical. So these are some of the problems that we face, and what are the solutions? Well, in the last week since this book came out, there's been all kinds of strange, slanderous, defamatory stuff circulated, but there's also been some significant good that has occurred. Last week, former President Clinton, a Democrat, and Mike Huckabee, the conservative Republican governor of Arkansas, formed an agreement with the soda companies in which the soda companies have promised to stop selling high-calorie, sugary drinks in the schools. It's not a perfect agreement, but it's a good one that's going to take away a major contributor of obesity in children. And also, last week, Disney announced that they will not do any more promotions of their films with unhealthy fast food. It's as simple as that. And that is significant for the biggest force in children's entertainment. Now, none of these people were called Satanist or communist, and it shows that there is a growing bipartisan sense that we have to protect our children from harm. The next step, I hope, is for some sort of agreement in which McDonald's and Burger King and all these fast food companies that are targeting children in schools will agree not to sell unhealthy food to children in schools. The person who's probably been the best on this issue in public life, the elected official who I think has really led the way, is also a Republican, and it's Arnold Schwarzenegger, who pushed for legislation and signed legislation to kick junk food and soda out of the schools, period. And those laws are now in effect in California. This is the future. These fast food companies and the products they're selling, and especially the soda, represents the past. And it's my own belief, and maybe this is a radical belief, but if you're going to market things to children, they shouldn't be products that can harm children. I'm very much a libertarian when it comes to adults. If an adult wants to buy a triple cheeseburger and a triple shake and a supersized fries, so be it. I think adults should have the freedom to do all kinds of things that aren't very smart and may harm them later. But we consider children a separate category of citizens who are supposed to be protected by their parents and by society. So we don't allow tobacco companies to market in schools, and we don't allow alcohol companies to market in schools, and obesity is supposed to surpass smoking as the number one cause of preventable death in this country. So I think we have to really, really be tough on how companies target children and what they try to sell them. Two of the big criticisms that I've encountered since this book came out criticisms that I don't believe in personal responsibility, and I don't believe in parental responsibility, and I believe in the government controlling people's lives. Well, I really believe in personal responsibility, and that's why I'm a writer and an investigative journalist, so that people can read and think and then make an informed decision. And I think even children have personal responsibility, and children need to start taking responsibility for what they're reading. So I don't agree with that. As for parental responsibility, I've got kids. I'm a big believer in parental responsibility. Parents need to know what their kids are eating. Parents have to really look carefully at this. It's probably the most important thing they're purchasing for their kids. The blue jeans and video games can be thrown away. This purchase, this food, enters their body and becomes part of them and will help determine how long they live. So I think parents have to take an interest at home, and parents have to take an interest in what's happening in kids' schools. So, personal responsibility, yes. Parental responsibility, yes. But there's one thing these companies don't really like to talk about, and that's corporate responsibility. If you are the biggest distributor of toys in the world, you are responsible for the food that comes with those toys. It's as simple as that. Each one of us can affect the market with our own individual purchasing decisions. And I think we have to. And we have to direct our money to the companies that are doing things right and ethically. But McDonald's is the biggest purchaser of beef, pork, chicken, potatoes, apples, lettuce, eggs, and how they decide to purchase things has a heck of a lot more influence than how I do. So they cannot avoid their corporate responsibility all along the food chain, but most importantly, in how they're targeting children. So, that's my rant, and I would love any questions or criticism or a different point of view. Thank you. That's a really good question. No, they don't. I guess I'll repeat the question, because it was a really good one. And the question was, he knows that tobacco companies have had to give money to the government to pay for campaigns against smoking. Have the fast food companies had to do anything like that? Not yet. And fast food companies don't want in any way to be associated with the tobacco companies, because they think it's a very, very different situation. Again, that hasn't prevented them from using some of the groups created by the tobacco companies to attack people they don't like. I think it would be a very good idea, particularly with soda, for there to be higher taxes on soda, and for that money, which could be considerable, to be used to educate people about obesity. Some of these foods I have misgivings about. I don't want to have more taxes on the poor and have regressive taxes, but soda certainly seems to be something of no nutritional value whatsoever, and it seems like a very good thing to tax for anti-obesity efforts. But that was a great question. Thank you. Yeah. We need investigative journalism now, right now, more than ever. And I feel like there is a return to investigative journalism. It's very difficult to do. It's difficult to do because you need a news organization or a magazine or a book publisher that's willing to support you and support you for months at a time while you do something that may or may not come up with the goods. It's difficult to do because the legal environment is such that companies do not hesitate to threaten lawsuits and threaten libel suits in order to prevent it. And as the media has become more and more concentrated in fewer hands, it seems much more appealing to do another Britney Spears story than to uncover corporate misbehavior. But I think there is some very good investigative journalism going on. I think when it comes to revealing government abuses, we've had some very, very good works come out recently, and even corporate misbehavior. And I'm optimistic that the Internet is going to provide a whole new means to expose misbehavior without having to go through the conventional channels. But it is more difficult to do, and in a lot of ways the risks are greater, but the need is greater too. Yeah. Yeah. Other countries are doing a better job in food safety, Denmark being one of them. In some of the Scandinavian countries, all marketing to children on TV is banned. The law that you just cited is that trans fats have been banned in Denmark. Trans fats are these man-made fats that are widely being used by the fast food industry because they're very cheap cooking oils that you can reuse again and again. There are minute amounts of trans fats that appear in nature, but basically the biggest source of trans fats in the American diet are these hydrogenated cooking oils. The National Academy of Sciences did a study to see how much trans fat a person should eat in a day. And the conclusion was actually surprising to the researchers, and the conclusion was zero. There is no amount of trans fat that anyone should eat, and particularly children. Trans fats raise the bad cholesterol, lower the good cholesterol, and literally contribute to hardening of the arteries. So we shouldn't be eating any. And throughout Europe, McDonald's has removed trans fats from their cooking oil, largely because they're facing government pressure to do so. In this country, they say they're going to do it, but they're worried about affecting the taste of the French fries. That may be true. What's also true is these healthier oils are more expensive, and they may be waiting for the price to come down. But nobody should be eating trans fats, and especially not children. Our government is very, very close with the fast food industry, and with the meatpacking industry. And we have very, very weak regulation of those two industries as a result. The Senate right now is considering a bill that was already passed by the House, which is nicknamed the Cheeseburger Bill. And it's a special law to exempt the fast food industry from lawsuits, making them liable for obesity. And what's so amusing to me about that is the fast food industry and the meatpacking industry have gone out of their way to threaten their critics with lawsuits and to sue their critics, and now wants special and unique protection from being sued. The Senate may pass it because the very far right wing of the Republican Party is very close to the meatpacking and the fast food industry. So, you know, you have to look to other governments for much tougher protection of ordinary consumers. Yeah. Well, you know, it's really early because the book came out last week. The good thing is I've gotten good reviews from reviewers of children's books. I've gotten very positive feedback from librarians. And I've been to a few schools, and I've talked to kids about these issues, and there seems to be an incredible curiosity because these kids have grown up with these fast food ads all their lives, but have never really thought about what's behind the ads and what these companies really do. And certainly the effort to discredit me and discredit the book suggests to me that these companies are worried about the book. But we will see. We really will see what kids think of the book.
We're listening to Eric Schlosser, who spoke in Portland in May about his newest book, Chew on This, Everything You Don't Want to Know About Fast Food. You can receive a copy of this talk as a gift and show your support for this kind of programming by pledging a minimum of $60 to KABU right now by calling KABU at 503-232-8818. Or if you're out of the Portland metro area, call 1-877-500-5266.
And hooray for librarians and talking about saviors. And thank God for librarians to bring a little bit of enlightenment to our society. And yes, the phone number to call right now to support Grassroots Radio is indeed 503-232-8818, 503-232-8818. And we have some people to thank. For example, Vaughn from Portland, a new member, and Alice from Portland, who is renewed, and Tina from Milwaukee, also renewed, and they called 503-232-8818.
Hey, Eduardo, it's me, Lisa, here. Just wanted to sit in on this pledge pitch. You know, one of the things that gets me when I hear Eric Schlosser, now, I just want to ask listeners, where did you first hear this guy? Did you read about him in your daily newspaper? I think not, huh? I'm saying KBOO is the place where you hear about people like Eric Schlosser for the first time. You hear about people like Amy Goodman for the first time. Are you hearing about Amy Goodman by reading the Willamette Week? No, you're not. Are you hearing about her on National Public Radio? Bless National Public Radio's heart, but no. KBOO, you know, we're part of a whole network of grassroots radio stations in our area, but KBOO is by far the grassrootiest.
Grassroots.
We're the ones, we're at the bottom, and we're holding everybody up on our shoulders, and I just have to put this out there. If you've ever listened to KBOO and heard about someone that rocked your world for the first time, say, on, I don't know, this show called Between the Covers, or what have you, you need to be calling 503-232-8818. And if you're outside the KBOO area, if you're in an artist atelier in Estacada, as my father-in-law would say, you can call toll-free. It's 1-877-500-KBOO. This blue page is a directory of companies rated by their politics and practices. I don't know. Is that, like, brought to you by McDonald's? No. You need to call and get one of them. You can.
It's a pretty cool little book, and it's pocket size. You can put it right in back of your jeans, and we are offering it for a $40.
Yeah, I believe it's a
$40. Yeah, $40 minimum pledge. The number you can call is for this neat little book. It's called The Blue Pages, a directory of companies rated by their politics and practices. The number you can call is 503-232-8818, 503-232-8818. And outside the Portland area, free phone call, you dial 1-877-500-5266. And we are also online, www.kboo.fm. And you can just click where it says join now. It's that easy.
You know, this is the other thing, though. I love it when people come in person. It's rainy right now. It's just this wonderful gray rainy day. And we've got pastries from Fressen German Bakery at 16465 Southwest Finnegan Hill Road. It's this ornate German pastry stuff that we've got in here. We're located at 20 Southeast 8th. We're in Portland, Oregon, a half block south of Burnside. You could get a cup of coffee, dude.
I made it.
Oh my God! You know what?
Except Eduardo the last makes... one, Chris Merrick made it. Though.
Oh, see,
he makes good coffee too.
Eduardo makes good coffee. When you look at the pot, you can't see through it. I'm just putting this out there. That's how you judge. Look at somebody just came in person. Woo!
At
503-232-8818,
503-232-8818, and outside the Portland area, 1-877-500-5266.
Eduardo, we still have copies of this recording. We have copies of the CD of the talk given by Eric Schlosser in Portland, May 16th of this year. This is the kind of thing, that's for a $60 pledge. It's only $5 a month. This is the kind of thing, it's awesome to give your mom and dad for Christmas. Or, in my case, my sister and my brother-in-law who are in the Navy, right? They need to hear this stuff. They don't hear this from anybody but me. They all live far away from here.
You have family in the Navy?
I do. They are all living up in Whidbey Island Military Base, blah, blah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, no, oh, no. Huh.
This is community radio. See, where else can you hear this? 503-232-8818. 503-232-8818. And outside the Portland area, it's 1-877-500-5266. And online, www.kboo.fm. You know what? This is grassroots radio, meaning this is your radio station. 503-232-8818.
Okay, we're going to go back to Eric Schlosser.
It remains to be seen. Yeah, one last thing, just for the record, about the focus groups and the test marketing that I used for this book in order to target children. I didn't put any kids in MRIs. And the focus group that I used was my two children and the daughter of a good friend of mine. And that's the best I could do. So we'll see if children will read it or not. Yeah. To eat, is it okay to eat at fast food restaurants like Subway or at Taco Bell? Well, there's different things to keep in mind. No, that's a very sweet question. I still eat foods that are unhealthy. I mean, I still have French fries every now and then. I love chocolate chip cookies. I had one about a half hour ago. I really love brownies. And I have kids, and in our family, we let our kids have those kinds of foods. But we don't let them have them all the time. And when our kids get food like that, we really try to make sure that it's prepared from very fresh ingredients. And it's not heavily processed. Subway is one of the few fast food chains that has worked seriously to try to sell healthy food and encourage people to eat healthy. You know, so I don't know about Taco Bell, though. I mean, it's very, very processed food. Now, I am not a paid spokesperson of this company. I have received no money from them whatsoever, and I want to make that clear. But I would say, in the city of Portland, if you want a hamburger and fries, go to Burgerville. They're using fresh local ingredients. They're trying to be environmentally sensitive. They're trying to support local farmers and ranchers. And their success is proof that you don't have to be unethical in the ways some of these other companies are, and you can still earn a profit. So, you know, there's another company called In-N-Out Burger. Unfortunately, they're not in Oregon, but they do the same thing. It's fresh ground beef, it's fresh potatoes. And for me, I haven't ruled out any category of food entirely except maybe chicken nuggets. And I think it's possible to have really good foods and just have a balanced diet so you're not having French fries every day. Anyway, that's my nutritional advice. I'm sorry. The question was, if Taco Bell became the most successful fast food chain, would they be switching places with McDonald's or copying McDonald's? Would McDonald's be copying Taco Bell? It really depends on what they're selling and how they're selling it. If Taco Bell suddenly started selling hamburgers, they would definitely be copying McDonald's. And if McDonald's started selling Mexican food, but right now they've each devised a certain kind of food that they're trying to market to people. And, I mean, I'll say something nice about McDonald's. They have put some healthier menu items on there. It is possible to get healthier things to eat. And I think we really need to encourage these companies, you know, to copy one another insofar as they're offering healthy food. Yeah. I personally believe that giving children MRIs for any reason other than to detect a broken bone or some serious health problems isn't ethical. I have no evidence that MRIs are dangerous for children, but I would never allow my children to have an MRI for marketing purposes. I just feel, as a writer myself, that I try not to write, and given the rant I gave today, it might be hard to believe, but I try not to write polemics. I try to write things that are transparent. This book has footnotes, and it has all the source notes, and it encourages kids to read more about the subject. And I'm trying to not put myself above them as someone telling them what to do, but someone who's trying to provoke them to thinking about what to do. And for me, with my own kids, when it comes to certain things that are extreme, yeah, I'll tell them not to do something. But in other ways, I feel like kids have to learn a lot of lessons on their own and have to come to their own conclusions. And if a child reads my book and still wants to go to McDonald's, that's fine. But at least they know. At least there's a kind of informed decision. So that was the thinking behind it. I've stayed in touch with a lot of the people I wrote about in Fast Food Nation. But in this book, I don't make any connection or follow up on them. In this book, I tried very hard to tell stories through the lives of children who are being affected by this industry. Kids who are working in the restaurants, kids who are suffering from obesity, kids who grew up on a ranch. But personally, I have stayed in touch with a lot of those people. Yeah. Well, you know, to say that the question was about corn syrup, and if I look at corn syrup in these books, and not the answer is not really. There's a book out right now called The Omnivore's Dilemma by Michael Pollan that has a whole chapter on corn, and he does get into corn syrup a little bit. To say that people were never meant to eat it, there are a lot of things we eat that maybe we were never meant to eat. But in this case, as a sweetener, it probably does have all kinds of effects that sugar doesn't, different effects. It's preferred because it's cheap. But, you know, there are people who think it may encourage obesity by not creating the feeling of fullness that other sweeteners might. And it's heavily subsidized by the government is one of the reasons why it's so cheap. So given the choice between a drink that is sweetened with sugar or honey or corn syrup, you should always take the sugar or the honey. Yeah. It's starting to happen all over, and especially in California. There are some big foundations like the California Endowment that are starting to give money to encourage healthier eating by kids and create programs that involve physical activity and nutritional education, et cetera, et cetera. There is a bill that has been introduced to Congress that would extend a ban on junk food and soda in schools, much like the California ban. And that it has some bipartisan support. I think Hillary Clinton is one of the supporters, and Arlen Specter, a Republican, is another supporter. And we'll see what happens in the fall with that legislation. But certainly there's a need for it. And Alice Waters has done an amazing job in California, and Jamie Oliver has in England. And so this is the future. And I don't know what's going on in Portland, but I hope people are working on that here. Yeah, and people need good health care, because if they're not going to say they're obese, maybe their doctors will. Did I get inspiration for it? Yeah, I really did. I feel really lucky as a writer that I'm allowed to write about things I care about and also be paid to do it. There are a lot of writers who can get paid, and then there are a lot of writers who write about what they care about and never get paid. And in this case, these are subjects I really cared about, especially the more I learned about them, the more I felt like the information was important. So the inspiration came from not knowing these things and then realizing these things were going on and wanting to tell other people what was going on. And that's what really kept me going with these books. Back there. You know, that's a really good question. And nobody knows the answer to that question. What's happening to our bodies from eating all this genetically engineered food? I have no evidence whatsoever that genetically engineered food is bad for people over the long term. But nobody has that evidence. And all of us are guinea pigs in the first wide-scale medical experiment on that subject. I didn't really get into genetically engineered foods in the book. But in terms of labeling, there is a bill that was passed by the Congress earlier this year with an innocuous-sounding name, which is the Uniformity and Labeling Act. And what that will do, if it passes the Senate, is prevent any state from having food safety laws tougher than the federal laws. And what that means is weakening state food safety laws. The Republicans and their industry allies in the Congress are very angry that California has passed some labeling laws tougher than what the government requires. And so there's a real effort at the federal level to prevent any states from having tough labeling laws or tough food safety laws. I've been told I can't answer anymore, but what I'll do is if you guys come up to me while I'm signing, I'd be glad to answer any question that I can. Thank you.
We just completed a special lecture for Membership Drive, a talk by journalist Eric Schlosser. He spoke about Chew on This, Everything You Don't Want to Know About Fast Food. He spoke on May 16th at the First Congregational Church in Portland. His talk was recorded and produced by KBOO volunteer Mel Resler. And now Lisa and Rabia have joined us.
Yes, good morning. And I want to just repeat what I heard Janet say, is that this talk that we've been listening to was recorded by a KBOO volunteer. We didn't pull it off of a, you know, mass syndicated list of speeches, but this was actually produced here by KBOO, and that is what makes KBOO unique. I bet that's why you're listening, because you know you don't hear this anywhere else, and you're tuning in. And if you're not already a financial member, you are a member in the respect that you are a listener. If you're a listener, we need you to become a member, because that is how KBOO operates. It's through funding from you. The number to call to become a member is 503-232-8818. And that can be your form of activism, by directing the small amount of money that we ask from you, $60, $10 a month. Call us now. Point your finances in the direction of free speech, of KBOO Radio. We mean what we say, and we say what we mean. 503-232-8818. Call now. Become a member.
Also, a lot of people have been coming in person, which is a beautiful thing to do. We're right on a bus line. We're like on multiple bus lines. We're located at 20 Southeast 8th Street in Portland, Oregon. That's on Southeast 8th, the half block south of Burnside. So people ride up on your bicycles. We've got headphone-shaped bike racks in front of KBOO. And we have pastries from Fressen German Bakery. I actually heard Eric Schlosser say the words, Alice Waters, and I had to eat food right then. But I don't know, Rabia. I don't know if people are tuning in now because they know that this programming is all done by volunteers. I think people are tuning in because they're learning about the Uniformity and Labeling Act, which apparently is the federal government's way of making sure that local governments, states, don't have any right to govern the kind of food we eat or how we regulate that food. And, you know, this is the place you're going to hear about that. You're not going to hear about it, I don't know, on Fox News. And so I just wanted to put this out there. We're passing the hat for KBOO right now. The number to call, if you're out of Portland area and it's a long-distance call, it's toll-free for you. That's 1-877-500-KBOO. Or if you're local inside Portland, 503-232-8818. We're closing in on our goal for this show, but we haven't met it yet. We need probably about another $200 in promises of financing to come. My friend Robin Shanti says that money is energy, and we need your energy. We need you to call 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-KBOO. Robin renewed from Portland. Rail and Elizabeth renewed in Portland. And
actually, what we need right now is we need 4 new members. We have a 12 new member goal for this program, and we need 4 people to call now. 4 people to call and pledge $10 a month to be electronically deducted from your bank account. Please call us now. We need 4 people. That will help this program reach our goal, 503-232-8818. And coming up next is going to be an amazing program by DeMay about the Portland Opera Company's production of Faust, which is coming up in November. Now, this is local. This is information. This is culture. That is something that is hard to find these days. Think about it. Culture. What kind of culture do we have? What kind of support for the arts? Are arts important to you? Even if you don't go yourself to opera productions or theater, a society without culture is a barren society. 503-232-8818. Call. We need 4 new members. Now, if you're a listener, but you've never pledged your finances, do it now. Take that step. Go to your phone and dial this number, 503-232-8818, to show that you support free speech radio, locally produced programming that is outstanding in its nature. Call now. Think of a world. Well, we don't want to manifest this, but imagine just briefly a world without KABU, without a community radio station. And we broadcast over the internet all over the world. People can get this unique type of programming that we offer that you simply will not hear anywhere else. But we need you to call to keep it going. 503-232-8818 or outside the Portland area, 1-877-500-KBOO. 5266.
So we just got the word that people who call now, the numbers that Robbie just gave, people who call now with a $60 gift for KABU can get the CD of Eric Schlosser. That's easy for me to say. Eric Schlosser speaking on Chew on This, Everything You Don't Want to Know About Fast Food. That's what you just listened to. A talk given by Eric Schlosser in Portland in May, recorded by a KABU volunteer. For a $60 pledge, you get that plus the Blue Pages, a directory of companies related by their politics and practices brought to you by the editors of Paula Point Press. It's basically a directory of, the corporate, well, I can't quite see the cover. Go ahead, Robbie. Tell them.
It's Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is, and I've opened it up once again. So I'm just going to tell you a little bit more about some of the companies and products that you see when you go to the market and where they put their money. Jamba Juice, 100% of their contributions, which were petite, $1,500, to the Democrats, zero to the Republicans. That was Jamba Juice. On the other hand, Kraft Foods contributed a total of $38,900. $31,000 of those dollars went to the Republicans, $7,800 went to the Democrats. Now, that's where those companies are putting their political interests. We need you to put your financial political interests here in this radio station, 503-232-8818. We're still looking for those four members. We need you to call. I am speaking directly to you. Out your radio and into your ear, 503-232-8818. This station doesn't run without volunteers, and it doesn't run without your financial support. We need it. We are spending all of these days and hours asking you because it's real. 503-232-8818. Lisa?
Yeah, it's true. So for a $60 pledge, that's only $5 a month. You get this Eric Schlosser speech plus the Blue Pages, which is this cool little pocket-sized directory that basically lets you suss out where you want to invest your money in the corporate sector. But we're asking you to invest some of your money here at KABU, 503-232-8818 is the number to call in the Portland area, 1-877-500 KABU outside the area. Really want to encourage people to come in person. We've had a wonderful stream of people coming in person. There's on-street parking. We're located at 20 Southeast 8th in Portland, Oregon. That's on Southeast 8th, a half block of Burnside, south of Burnside. Really encouraging people to come in, get one of these German bakery pastries, get a cup of Eduardo's coffee, and just relax. So anyway, one last time, numbers.
503-232-8818, 1-877-500. 5266.
And welcome to the membership drive of Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. On today's show, the classic tale of the man who sold his soul to the devil. We'll talk about Faust with Portland Opera's Alexis Hamilton. We'll be giving away three pairs of tickets plus one CD set of my Asian American history series, Crossing East. So stay tuned and be ready to call 503-232-8818, 1-877-500-KBOO. That's 5266. We want to end this puppy this morning, okay? Let's work on that goal. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. With me in the KABU studio is Alexis Hamilton, Education and Outreach Director of Portland Opera. Welcome to Stage and Studio.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you here
during this
madness. Before we start talking about the new production of Faust, let's talk a little bit about your extensive outreach program at Portland Opera. Can you tell us more about that?
Absolutely. I'm so excited this year. We're taking a 50-minute English language version of Hansel and Gretel into the grade schools. We're designed to run K through 6, and we've even had to extend this year. We're very excited. I'm going to places like Paisley, Oregon, Dayville. I'm playing to 38 kids in Dayville. We're very excited to be going all over Oregon as ambassadors of the art form and indeed of Portland.
So it's all over rural Oregon?
All over rural Oregon and the Portland metro area from way down south in Bandon, all the way out east to Ontario and Pendleton. So really, from A to Z in Oregon.
Now, that's pretty extensive. So when you say I'm, are you in Hansel and Gretel?
No, unfortunately, I no longer get to go on the road. I used to be the tour manager, and it was one of the great joys of my life. And so I try to give that kind of enthusiasm to my young singers and our new tour manager. So it's an exciting experience for everyone. It's really hard work. I like to call it kind of opera Peace Corps.
Well, people don't realize, I think they do realize, but they often forget, like I do, that Oregon is a huge state.
It really is. It's a huge state.
When I was doing my documentary on Doc Hay in the Camwachung in John Day, Oregon, I was just amazed. It took 7 hours to get there.
And absolutely.
It doesn't seem that far. I mean, it's Oregon, right? We're still in the state.
We're still in the same state. But what's so remarkable about Oregon is not only, the different kinds of people you meet and the different kinds, as you know, the different environments. It's actually very exciting for city folk to get out there and see what we have to offer in this state.
Well, it's amazing to me, too. I mean, what happens when you go to a rural town, say Paisley, Oregon? Where is Paisley?
Paisley is in Lake County. It is about three and a half hours east of Bend, kind of area.
Okay.
We've never been there. We're in the middle of nowhere. But what's so terrific about that is that there's interest and vitality. And what's even more interesting is, as I tell my young singers, never assume that people don't know about opera. Because opera is one of those art forms that you just never know. You might find a rancher in eastern Oregon who's loved it since he was a kid and will tell you all about it. And so it's very exciting for us to get a chance to go into schools that wouldn't normally have the opportunity not only not to see opera, but in order to see just live performance.
Well, it probably is the first time these kids, if you're going into the grade schools, have been exposed to opera. How does that affect them?
You will hear kids, what's amazing about it is you will hear kids after we leave singing in the halls, singing recitatives, figuring out how to do it. It's a powerful thing, especially when you're a kindergartner and you have a singer 3 feet away from you. You know, we're trained to sing acoustically. And so it's as exciting as the brass band going by and feeling that in your body.
Wow. You're sharing your enthusiasm with me. Do you remember the first time that you heard opera?
I absolutely do. It's a remarkable thing. I've always loved the theater, and I remember falling in love with opera actually kind of late for many opera singers. I fell in love with opera. I went to school and majored in music, and the first opera I actually saw, was actually in England. I was eight. And I saw Madame Butterfly, and I didn't, at the time, they didn't have super text or anything else, and I didn't know what was going on, but I knew that the lady on stage was very, very sad, and I remember thinking how incredibly beautiful, she was in her agony. And that was really a profound effect on me. And then I didn't see another opera until I was in college. And the Western Opera Theater from San Francisco came through to Missoula, Montana, and did Carmen.
That's where you were going to college?
I went to college in Missoula. Mm-hmm. And then PSU.
All right. Well, we're glad to have you in Portland. I don't necessarily know a lot about opera, but I'm always amazed when I go how engaging it is, because people are singing without mics. There's a full orchestra, and you have these wonderful sets and costumes. And I mean, it's operatic, right? And you always get really engaged and enthralled by it. Even if you don't think you're going to like it.
Exactly. And I think what's terrific about Faust, actually our season opener, is it's a great first opera. If you've never been to an opera, if you, are afraid of the medium because, of all the preconceived notions, if you've seen too much Bugs Bunny, with the lady with the horns on her head, then Faust might be the opera for you. It has universal themes. The music is gorgeous. The story's simple enough that you'll be able to follow it. We have great translation of supertext, and the sets are dynamite. This production has really got striking visuals, stark lighting, really kind of a contemporary feel to the visuals. The costuming is very traditional, 19th century type costuming. But wow, what a way to see Faust for the first time.
Well, let's talk about Faust. It's the first show of the season. It's about the deal that Faust strikes with Mephistopheles, the devil, in return for youth and love of a woman. And it is one of the most popular French operas, as I understand it.
Indeed.
And you brought some music to share with us. Now, you brought a piece by Mephistopheles, I believe.
A piece that Mephistopheles is singing. It is. It occurs. Mephistopheles and Faust have already struck their deal, and Mephistopheles has whisked Faust off to the village where Marguerite, the girl that he has promised Faust, lives, and they're in a tavern, and Faust decides to engage with the villagers, and he starts singing a song to the glory of greed and lust for life and wine, and it's all about how wonderful it would be to worship that golden calf of greed.
Well, let's listen to it.
Le pampidole, le roi s'est pelle, comme on dit, a bris sombre des écus, dans ses funérailles de folle. Autour de sa piédestale, autour de sa piédestale. Mais ça t'a connu la balle, connu la balle, mais ça t'a connu la balle, connu la balle.
Well, opera is not something we hear often on KBOO Airwaves. It's always fun. Portland Opera presents Faust November 4th, 7th, 9th, and 11th at 7:30 p.m. at the Keller Auditorium in downtown Portland. Tickets are $39 to $140 and are available by calling the Portland Opera box office at 503-241-1802 or toll-free at 1-866-739-6737 or at Ticketmaster at 503-790-8-ARTS, that's 790-ARTS. And we have a pair of tickets to offer for the November 7th performance, that's a Tuesday, to the first three callers for $150 membership or more. Now, these are $100 value, I have to tell you. And Portland Opera has donated graciously three pairs to us to give away for our membership drive. And we do want to end this drive today. And if possible, this morning during Radio Zine. Now, you can make a difference by calling or and becoming a member or renewing your membership. If you've been waiting, don't wait any longer. Here's your chance to call KBOO at 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-KBOO. That's 500-5266. Especially if you're in those outlying regions that Alexis Hamilton of Portland Opera has been talking about, where she goes and sends people to impart the beauty of opera to the rural areas of Oregon. And a pair of tickets is available to Faust for $150 membership or more. I'm Dime Roberts. This is Stage and Studio. My guest is Alexis Hamilton of Portland Opera. And you actually have another piece for us. I kind of love listening to that music. So let's hear another piece. What did you bring for us?
Marguerite is our innocent village maiden who is seduced and her innocence taken away from her by Faust. And one of the ways she does that, she does resist Faust, you know, in a token way. But then she is broken down by a gift of a box of jewels that Mephistopheles, the devil, tempts her with. And in this aria, she has discovered this beautiful box of jewels and imagines herself, with the help of the devil, as a great queen.
Let's hear another selection from Faust.
Je crois, si je l'ouvrais, ma grande, pour moi, jeune fille, à l'ouvrir rien de moi ne se suppose. Que des bijoux, les autres des bijoux ratés, oui.
And that was Marguerite from Faust. Now, of course, she's singing in French, but there are super titles as well as in English.
Absolutely. Opera is so much more accessible to people who are new to the art form now, with super text in English, contemporary interpretations, and lively stagings.
What's the appeal of Faust that's made it endure for so many centuries?
Well, hasn't everyone given consideration to the idea of what would I do for? And Faust embodies not only what lengths we will go to for what we desire, but also the idea of how man wants to explode past what man is capable of. What can we do? And I think that today, particularly, it's very relevant. Faust represents somebody who wants and has spent his whole life dealing with knowledge and trying to get more. And what do we do with that knowledge? And he finds that at the end of his life that that was not enough. And he wants to go back and relive parts of his life that he didn't do well.
It's that yearning for something perfect, isn't it?
Yearning for something beyond what we have.
Right. Well, Portland Opera presents Faust November 4th, 7th, 9th, and 11th at 7:30 at the Keller Auditorium in downtown Portland. And tickets are $39 to $140 and are available by calling the Portland Opera box office at 503-241-1802. Yeah, that's 1-802. And toll-free at 1-866-739-6737 or at Ticketmaster at 503-790-ARTS. And we do have a pair of tickets to the first three callers for a $150 membership or more. And that's for the November 7th Tuesday night performance at 7:30 at Keller Auditorium. And you can call 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-KBOO. That's 500-5266. And in the 1 minute that's remaining, Alexis Hamilton, the Portland Opera theme is truth and transformation. And you're starting with Faust.
Indeed. You know, there's a huge amount of secrecy in Faust. Marguerite's innocence is stolen. She ends up having a baby out of wedlock. Faust has left her. She realizes what's happened to her, and then she is redeemed. And our entire season is about that moment of redemption when people realize truth and become better and more than they were.
Wow, perfect theme for our membership drive as well. Alexis Hamilton, Education Outreach Director of Portland Opera, thank you so much for visiting today on Stage and Studio.
Oh, thank you so much for having
me. It's great. It's been fun. Now, next up, we'll hear a cut from my Asian American history series, Crossing East, and we'll give away a CD set of that. But first, let's check in with Pledge Central.
And the number to call is 503-232-8818. And this story is about redemption, and so is our story here at KBOO. I have and I really want these more than just about anything in the world, but I think three lucky callers are going to get these. We have three pairs. Oh, I have one pair of Faust tickets, $150 minimum pledge. It's the Portland Opera presents Faust at 7:30 p.m. Tuesday, November 7th at the Keller Auditorium. You can have those tickets for $150 pledge, 503-232-8818. And call now. Yes, it's about it's about being redeemed. So that's the number to call for redemption, 503-232-8818. And if you've been listening and you haven't called, but you're just thinking this is the type of radio that I want to hear, radio that's informative, it's local, it's pertinent, it's intelligent. Well, it's hard to find those all in one package these days.
You know, actually, the other radio stations in town, they don't have a show like D. May Roberts has. And so you're not going to hear about artists coming on the air to talk about their production. Faust, man, that's an incredible play. I don't know. Do people feel like they're doing, like, making deals with the devil in this modern age? I think so. Sometimes when you look at Faust or Dr. Faustus, that's definitely the story of our own political leadership in this country. 503-232-8818. Tickets to Faust, 1-877-500-KABU. And that's for a $90 pledge.
No, actually,
no,
that's
a $150 pledge. It's a $90 value.
Hey, so, D-May here. And so how's it going, Lisa and Rabia? Have they been calling? I heard one phone
there's
call.
We're about a quarter of the way there.
We're coming along, but I have another thank you gift to offer from DeMay, and it is Portland Arts and Lectures presents Stephen King, November 2nd, 2006 at the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall. That's at 7:30. That's open seating. That is for a $120 pledge. You can have tickets to see Stephen King, and he's a wonderful orator. He's a fascinating person, author and human being. I've heard him interviewed before. I would love to go hear him speak. You can go hear Stephen King by calling 503-232-8818 or outside the Portland area, 1-877-500-KBOO or 500-5266.
And we want to hear from people that have never been a KBOO member before. For a minute, you know, let's just look at that. All the people that listen and learn about what is the local opera that's playing and have never been a member before. We need you to just, you know, all we're doing is passing the hat for KBOO. This is the time. Don't just sit there and white knuckle it until next week or just a couple days from now. We won't, you know, we're asking you to get on the bus with us now, and we're doing that for a reason. So just give us a call, 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-KABU. Another wonderful person stopped by in person. We're located at 20 Southeast 8th. That's in Portland, Oregon, Southeast 8th, a half block south of Burnside. There's on-street parking. We even have bike parking with our new headphone-shaped bike racks, which are pretty freaking cool. And we're right on a bus line. We love it when people come in person. We still have a couple of these delectable treats from a local bakery, a German bakery that contributed this morning. We got fresh coffee. We've got pastry. We just would love to meet you. That's actually, I love pledge drive time of year because you get to meet all the people that you don't get to see the rest of the year. 503-232-8818. How much are the Faust tickets again?
Well, actually, it's $100 value. There's a typo on those that we had before, but yeah, it's $100 value. And so for $150, you know, donation, a tax deductible membership for KBOO, you can go see the opera, and they're fairly good seats. So I would recommend people snagging those.
Yeah, I certainly would. I have been eyeing the poster for this production in our entryway and thinking, how can I go? How can I go see Faust? You know, the devil, he's orchestrating these plans to, you know, subvert this innocent woman, and her life becomes complicated. But she's eventually redeemed by love, and that's true. So this may be an opera, this may be a play, this may have fabulous music, but overall, that theory that love can conquer evil, that's true.
Universal story.
503-232-8818. Call now, 1-877-500-5266. Go and see this incredible production. $150 gets you a pair of tickets. That is November 7th at 7:30. At the Keller Auditorium. Call now. Become a member of KBOO. Participate in your free speech radio station. It's local. It's here. It's happening now. And now is the time to call 503-232-8818. Become a member. Join KBOO. Support this station. Support this program. And take these tickets and go see this amazing production.
You know what? I want to jump in there and put a little icing on your cupcake with that, because if you call us with this $150 gift to KBOO, get these awesome tickets to see Dr. Faustus, the opera. 503-232-8818 is the number to call, or toll-free 1-877-500-KBOO. Not only do you get the happy thank you gift, but actually you get in the mail a card, and it's got your name on it. You become a card-carrying member of KBOO, and that card entitles you to discounts all year long at the kind of businesses you really go to. That's the part freaks me out a little. There's bagel shops, there's coffee, there's home remodeling, there's music stores, there's licensed massage therapists. There's counselors. I'm not going to say, listeners, that you need counseling, but I know I'm getting counseling right now, and it's helpful. And I'm just putting that out there. You get discounts all year long. Linton Feed and Seed. Tell me you don't need a bale of straw right now for your bunnies and your hens. You get all this. That membership pays for itself. 503-232-8818. 1-877-500-KABOO. Come in person. It's so nice here. 20 Southeast 8th.
Well, I just want to put in a plug here that most people think that opera is something you need to get dressed up for. And there are some people who do dress up, but mostly, I mean, we do live in Portland, and casual wear is just fine for the opera. So I want to encourage you to call. I think we have one more pair of tickets left at 503-232-8818. Or 1-877-500-KBOO. That's 500-5266-KBOO. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. This is Stage and Studio. And before we go today, I want to play a cut from the Frontier Asian Show of Crossing East, the first Asian American history series on public radio. In this segment, we hear about women in the West and how they had to survive and what they had to do to survive. The laws on one hand and the lonely situation of Chinese men on the other became a reason for underground organizations that had to import Chinese women as prostitutes. Now, living and working under horrible conditions, many women did not outlive the 4 years of service. It was only 4 years of contract service specified, but some escaped, made better lives for themselves on the frontier. In this segment of Crossing East, produced by Sarah Caswell Colbert, we'll hear about how Wang Ah So became free. The reading of her letters is by actress Elaine Lowe.
I was born in Guangdong province. My father was sometimes a sailor and sometimes he worked on the docks, for we were very poor. I was 19 when this man came to see my mother and said that in America there was a good deal of gold. Even if I just peeled potatoes there, he told my mother, I would earn $7 or $8 a day. I thought that I was his wife and was very grateful when he was taking me to such a grand free country where everyone was rich and happy.
When I talk about the immigration of Chinese women in the 19th century, most women stayed behind in China to take care of the families, and their husbands couldn't afford to bring them here. But there was one group of women that dominated and that were brought here for their labor. And this would be Chinese women who were brought here to work as prostitutes.
When we first landed in San Francisco, we lived in a hotel in Chinatown, a nice place. But one day, after I had been there for about 2 weeks, a woman came to see me. She told me that I was not really Huey Yao's wife, but that she had asked him to buy her a slave, that I belonged to her.
They were women who had been sold by their poor families in China, sometimes were misled into thinking they were coming to marry someone or be put to work at some respectable job.
February 7, 1924. To my honorable mother, greetings. I hope you are well and so my heart will be at peace. Your daughter has come to America. Your daughter's condition is very tragic. Even when she is sick, she must practice prostitution. Daughter is not angry with you. It seems to be just my fate.
They had these contracts that they signed with their thumbprints that say that they are going to work 4 years as a prostitute for this person who owned them. And it also said that if they became sick or they couldn't perform, they would have to extend their contracts.
Since I have not done evil to others, why should others do evil to me? At home, a daughter should be obedient to her parents. After marriage, to her husband. After the death of her husband, to her son. These are the three great obediences.
For Chinese men, not only were there not Chinese women here, but they also had laws that forbid interracial marriage between Chinese and whites. It creates a situation where there are criminal tongs, secret societies, set up so that they could bring these girls who have been sold by their parents to the United States, and the women were literally sold into prostitution.
I was in that life for 7 months, and then I was released. It was at a party given by the Tong men, where slave girls are invited. Suddenly, I saw a friend of my father's come in, a man who had seen me less than a year ago. Although I was all dressed up so grand, he recognized me. And the first chance he had, he came and asked me, "Are you not so-and-so's daughter?" So I told him all.
The missionaries made it a point to publicize all the good work, and this was their way of saying that they were trying to help eradicate prostitution, and they would give very detailed accounts of these rescue raids that they did with the help of law officers.
About 10 days after the party and the interview with these men, I was rescued and taken to the mission. I am learning English and to weave, and I am going to send money to my mother when I can. I can't help but cry, but it is going to be better.
Some of the women tried to run away with the help of men who befriended them or who loved them. The only other way, and some of the women did this, was to commit suicide rather than continue to work and endure these conditions as a sex slave.
As in the building of a house, there are 12 beams and you do not know which is the strongest. So in a family, you cannot judge which will be the most dependable one. A son is a human being, so is a daughter. At home, everybody looks down upon the daughter. How is it now? Since daughter came to California, by right, she should forsake you. But in thinking it over, the greatest virtue in life is reverence to parents. So I am keeping a filial heart.
And that was a story about Wong Ah So, Frontier Woman, produced by Sarah Caswell Colbert for the Crossing East Asian American History Series. We heard Elaine Lowe as Wong Ah So, and also from scholar Judy Young. We have a CD set of the 8-hour Crossing East series available for $150 membership or more by calling 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-KBOO. 5266. That's a 1 8-hour CD set for $150 membership or more. Now, before we go today, Willamette Radio Workshop presents Dracula for 2 Halloween shows. That's next week at McMiniman's Kennedy School, Tuesday, October 31st at 5:30 and at 7 p.m. It's free and open to all ages. Kids must have an adult with them, however. And the Kennedy School is located at 5736 Northeast 33rd Avenue. For more info, you can call 503-730-7155. That's 730-7155. We'll have a special radio drama by Willamette Radio Workshop run by the incomparable Sam A. Mowry on next Tuesday's Stage and Studio. They'll feature 2 new original productions from their Writers on the Air series for Halloween. I hope you'll tune in. Till then, I'm Dee Mae Roberts.
Thank you very much, Dee Mae. And the preceding KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from St. John's Books, North Portland's full-service independent bookstore, offering new and used books on progressive politics, literature, poetry, titles for kids, and more. St. John's Books is located at 8622 North Lombard in St. John's. Information at 503-283-0032 or via email at info@stjohnsbooks.com. That's S.T. John's Books, all one word. Okay, coming up now, by the way, you're listening to KBOO-FM in Portland, Oregon, where the time is 1 minute after 11. It's now time for today's version of Democracy Now!
Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The Bush administration is facing new opposition to the war in Iraq from within the U.S. military. For the first time since the invasion, a group of 65 active duty service members are formally asking Congress to end the U.S. occupation and bring the troops home. The soldiers are filing appeals for redress to members of Congress. Under the Military Whistleblower Protection Act, active duty troops can file and send a protected communication to a member of Congress regarding any subject without reprisal. One of the soldiers is Marine Sergeant Liam Madden of Rockingham, Vermont, who served in Iraq for 7 months last year. He told a Vermont newspaper, quote, "The war is being paid for by American people, and they're not seeing any benefit from it, and neither are the Iraqi people. It doesn't make sense to me," he said. The soldiers plan to publicly announce their campaign Wednesday. Sergeant Liam Madden said they hope to collect 2,000 appeals for redress and send them to Congress January 15th on Martin Luther King Day. In Baghdad, the U.S. military commander, General George Casey, held a rare joint news conference today with Zalmay Khalilzad, the U.S. ambassador in Iraq. Khalilzad urged Iraqi leaders to work harder to achieve key political and security goals. He said that success in Iraq is still possible and could be achieved in a realistic timetable. The press conference comes at a time when the White House is coming under increasing criticism over Iraq, even from Republicans. On Monday, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham said, quote, "We're on the verge of chaos and the current plan is not working." The White House has been vague about how it's going to alter its Iraq policy, but Press Secretary Tony Snow says the president will no longer say he wants to stay the course. In news from Baghdad, U.S. forces are searching for a missing military translator. The military said it doesn't know if the soldier, who's an Iraqi-American, was abducted or if he went AWOL. As part of the search, U.S. forces raided the studios of the TV station Al-Farat. Iraq's Deputy Prime Minister Barham Saleh met with British Prime Minister Tony Blair in London. Saleh expressed hope that Iraqi forces could soon take over more responsibilities.
When we assumed sovereignty 2 years ago, the level of Iraqi troops and policemen were minimal. Today we are 300,000 strong in the police and in the military. They are getting better training and we are establishing more units, and we hope by the end of this year half of Iraqi provinces will come under Iraqi command.
Italy's top spy is expected to soon be indicted on charges connected to the CIA's kidnapping of an Islamic cleric from the streets of Milan in 2003. If indicted, Niccolò Pallari would become the most prominent official ever charged in connection with the Bush administration's so-called Extraordinary Rendition Program. Pallari has been the head of Italy's military intelligence for 5 years. According to the New York Times, the case marks the first time a foreign government official has been charged, essentially with cooperating with the United States to violate their own country's laws. The UN Special Rapporteur on Torture said Monday the Bush administration's handling of the war on terror has allowed other countries to justify using torture. Manfred Nowak said, quote, "Today, many other governments are kind of saying, but why are you criticizing us? We're not doing something different than what the United States is doing." Nowak said, because of its prominence, the United States has a greater responsibility to uphold international standards. In business news, former Enron CEO Jeffrey Skilling has been sentenced to 24 years in prison for his role in one of the country's largest corporate scandals. Judge Simeon Lake said Skilling's crimes resulted in a life of poverty for thousands of people. At the sentencing, one former Enron employee called Skilling a liar, a thief, and a drunk, and accused him of cheating her and her daughter out of their retirement. After the sentencing, Skilling claimed he'd not committed any crimes.
I'm obviously not happy about it. I've got three children. I want to, you know, like anybody else, I'd like to spend time with my children. As I've said, I believe, I mean, deep down, this is no act or anything. I believe I'm innocent. And so I believe in the long run that the system, I think when we review this maybe in a somewhat calmer atmosphere than has existed for the last 5 years, I think people will really look at that, and I hope that it'll work out fine. I mean,
Reporters Without Borders has released its fifth annual Worldwide Press Freedom Index. It shows the level of press freedom in the United States continues to fall. The 2002 U.S. was rated as having the 17th freest press. Now it's ranked 53rd. Reporters Without Borders criticized the Bush administration for using the so-called war on terror to crack down on press freedom. The report also criticized the United States for jailing journalists at home and abroad. Freelance journalist and blogger Josh Wolf remains in a San Francisco jail for refusing to hand over video to the police. Al Jazeera cameraman Samuel Haj has been locked up at Guantanamo for over 4 years. Associated Press photographer Bilal Hussein has been held in Iraq since April. Neither Al-Haj or Hussein have ever faced charges. Reporters Without Borders found the nations with the freest press were Finland, Iceland, Ireland, and the Netherlands. North Korea was rated as the worst upholder of press freedom. In related news, a Spanish photographer working for the Associated Press has been kidnapped in Gaza. Gunmen seized Emilio Morinati when he walked out of his apartment this morning. The AFL-CIO has filed a complaint with the United Nations over a new federal labor ruling that could block millions of American workers from joining a union or being protected by the nation's labor laws. The Republican-controlled National Labor Relations Board recently broadened its definition of who can be considered a supervisor to include workers with incidental oversight over co-workers. Under federal law, employees defined as supervisors aren't entitled to legal protections, ensuring their right to join unions. The AFL-CIO filed its complaint with the International Labor Organization of the United Nations. Meanwhile, Human Rights Watch has also criticized the Labor Board's decision, saying it puts the United States in violation of its labor and human rights obligations under international law. The group said the ruling creates a new category of employees, people without the authority of real supervisors and without the rights of ordinary employees. Former UN Chief Arms Inspector Hans Blix said Monday, the world needs to make clear to North Korea they're not trying to overthrow the regime as they try to persuade North Korea to stop developing nuclear weapons.
It might be more useful to say, look here, we are not out for regime change here. That's for the Korean people and for you to do. But the world is very concerned if you move on with the nuclear weapons. And we, the outside world, are willing to try to create conditions where you don't need them. We can give you assurances on paper that you will not be attacked from the outside and that we will not try to change your regime.
Hans Blix also criticized the United States for promoting a double standard.
We all regret and even the Security Council condemns the tests. But we must remember then that they are condemned for doing something that the U.S. and other countries are reserving themselves the right to do. The United States has refused to ratify the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty, and they keep test ban test areas open in the United States. So here is someone like telling that Korea, you must not do that, but we, of course, might do so in the future.
Election monitors from the Organization of American States have warned the Bush administration not to interfere in the upcoming presidential election in Nicaragua. The Bush administration has openly opposed the current frontrunner, Sandinista leader Daniel Ortega. The Organization of American States singled out Paul Trevelli, the U.S. ambassador to Nicaragua, and U.S. Commerce Secretary Carlos Gutierrez for meddling in the November 5th election. Last week, Gutierrez said an Ortega victory could scare off foreign investors and jeopardize Nicaragua's participation in the CAFTA Free Trade Accord with the United States. New opinion polls show Ortega has taken a strong lead and could win the election in one round. Meanwhile, a leading Nicaraguan human rights activist, Vilma Nunez, is scheduled to testify this week about the U.S. interference before the Inter-American Human Rights Commission in Washington. The Israeli newspaper Haaretz is reporting the Israeli military is withholding the release of a secret study that confirms there's been rampant illegal new construction in dozens of Jewish settlements in the West Bank. Some of the expanded settlements have occurred on privately owned Palestinian land. Security sources familiar with the study describe the study as political and diplomatic dynamite. Sources in the Israeli military said the report is not being made public in order to avoid a crisis with the U.S. government. Meanwhile, Palestinian leaders are condemning Israel's attack on the northern Gaza Strip that killed 7 Palestinians Monday. Hamas leader and Palestinian Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh denounced Israel for launching the raid at the beginning of Eid, the holiday that marks the end of Ramadan.
These threats to invade come as part of the overall escalation in the war which the Palestinian people are enduring. Here I assure you, the Palestinian people will not be frightened by these threats, and the people of the Gaza Strip are steadfast against the occupation in the face of the rising Israeli escalation.
Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas described Israel's killings on Monday as a criminal massacre. And in Maryland, the headquarters of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration was the scene of a protest yesterday over the Bush administration's handling of global warming. Two protesters occupied a ledge above the building's front entrance and unfurled a banner reading, "Bush let NOAA tell the truth." Other protesters on the ground blocked and occupied the building's main entrance. The demonstrators accused the agency of ignoring and actively suppressing science that details the great threat of global warming. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.